Mary, I'd like to begin by asking you about your grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Would you tell me something about your mother's parents?
Well, I don't know too much because they're from Mexico, and all I know is that my mother came with my dad when she was very young, and the only one that I knew from her family was a brother that came to live with us when he was his teens, yeah. And I know she had a big family. She came from a very big family. We have some little pictures about all that they used to send to her, write to her once in a while. But I don't know anything about her parents.
You know what part of Mexico?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's from the Valle of Santiago, it's called. And it's from Guanajuato. And from Guadalajara, it's a beautiful place. I passed close to it, but not in it, you know, and it's real beautiful.
What did her father do in Mexico?
I think they had a little, like, farming, you know, agriculture. That's about all I know that they did. And then she died when I was 13, so we never get, you know, got too much.
Your mother died when you were 13?
Mm-hmm. So.
She was born in Mexico and then came to the United States?
Yes, with my father when he went. Do you remember the 1918, ever heard of the 1918 flu epidemic they had real bad? Well, he was going back. He had come to the United States already.
This is your father?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was in his late teens, I guess. And then he went back to marry my mother's sister. But she died in the epidemic with my mother's mother. I remember that. And so then he ended up bringing my mother, which was her younger sister. And she must have been about 16 or 17 when she came. Mm-hmm. And they came, they worked in the railroads. I remember her telling me they had been to El Paso. Well, I had an older brother that died, but he was born there in El Paso. And they worked on the railroad tracks. And apparently they had a lot of friends with them, people from the same town that they came from, because we all settled in Hawthorne. Mm-hmm. And everybody that came from that area of town seemed to settle there.
They first moved to El Paso and then they...
Well, they were in El Paso in the train, you know, they used to live in boxcars. Mm-hmm. And then they came, I guess my brother was born in El Paso, but they kept on working.
They worked the mine uh-huh. and all the way
mm-hmm.
to California.
And I remember her telling me they went back to Mexico with my brother. He must have been about 3 or 4 years old. Or maybe about 2, I think, because he was 5 years older than I was. And then they came back. And they, I'm just trying to figure out where they settled. Can't remember. I think they settled in Hawthorne. And I think they went to Amani to work. They had I don't know if you heard of the Lodger Seed Company?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big seed company. And they hired a lot of people from Mexico, and then they had housing for it. And that's where they lived until I was about 5 years old. And I remember they had horses pulling the wagons for the seed, for the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was about 4 or 5, they had already bought a lot and had moved a house in Hawthorne. And they came to live there, I guess with the idea that they were going to raise chickens. You know how everybody wants to raise chickens. And I remember that they had a chicken house and all the things that went with it. I think it's prettier than the house because it was newer, you know. And that's where we started, you know. And I remember starting school in Hawthorne and had another brother. But the other brother died, the older one than I did.
What?
Well, when we were living in Alani, he was about 8 years old and I was 3 at the time. And it was just a day before school started, say this is Sunday. And in those days, you heated water by heating it outside in a big tub. And so he was trying to, I guess he was all excited about going to school next day. They said they had his clothes ready, new clothes and everything. And he got anxious and started the fire for the underneath. And he threw gasoline and the thing exploded and got him. And he ran off. And I was playing right next to him. And I got all burned in my stomach. And but they caught me since I was 3 years old and just rolled me on the ground. And he died that same night. So I think that's why another reason they wanted to move out of there. All the bad memories. And we came to Hawthorne, and that's where I grew up.
Did your mother ever talk about what it was like for her growing up in Mexico? Do you remember stories at all?
No, my dad mostly, but not my mother. I just remember her telling me about her sisters, you know, brothers.
Tell me about your father's family.
Well, he had a grandmother that got married 3 times. So he was from the last husband. And I think he was the youngest. And I guess there was, in those days, there was a lot of the Civil War, the war that they were having over there. Not the Civil War, but the war they were having. And he had to take off because I think he had killed somebody and he had to leave, you know. And that's why he came. And he must have came out here really young, but I can remember.
What did his father do in Mexico?
I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I remember, in those days, when you were a kid, they ignored you. I mean, you were just around. I mean, you didn't, nobody ever, hardly ever talked to you. You just got what you listen to. I know I sit under the, we had a big old oak table and I used to sit underneath there and listen to all the conversations. But, I mean, we were going through that where we were learning English, you know, and so we had so much going, you know, that I just can't remember.
Did he come from a large family?
Oh, yes, from a big family. I remember he was always sending money back to his older sister. He's always, I still know her name, Chona. It's a name for Joan, and he never forgot her. He'd always send her money, write to her, till she died. I guess he must have really loved her.
Yeah, so. After they moved to the United States, did they see their families very often?
They never saw them again. That time that they went and took the oldest boy back, but. What happened was there'd be a lot of people coming in from there that would tell them what was happening, you know, the news.
Do you know how they met?
No idea. No idea how they met. I just, now that I look back on things, I just kind of try to figure things out, but I don't know, you're just so busy living in those days, you don't think of, you know.
You know why your father, after he married, your mother came back to the United States?
Oh, he loved the United States. I remember that when we were living in Hawthorne, some of the families always were working, made that money, and left and went back. And he would always say, oh, they're so foolish to go back. You know, this is where it's at, you know. He really loved, you know. He told us that. I mean, very definitely, he loved America. And he never go back. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to... I guess he says you have everything better here, you know. I don't think he'd ever go back.
You said that they went to El Paso and they worked on the railroad. What kind of work did they do?
On the tracks, you know, hard labor. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now your mother
repairing
did it as well?
No, she's just along, you know, the wives and the family. Mm-hmm. They just had their families with them. That's a little bit that they told us, because I remember asking where my older brother had been born, and they said, El Paso. And I said, well, how come El Paso, you know? So they start telling us. And my dad says, oh, we went all into the South, back and forth, you know, traveling through there. Must have been fun in a way, you know? They're all young and just starting out.
And there were lots of people that they knew from there.
Yes, that they came with them. To this day, I know their children. And our children know their children. You know, we still we grew up together, and we still send Christmas cards to each other, and still keep in touch.
Do you remember hearing stories about when you were born? What it was like if you were born in the hospital, if you were born at home?
No, I just know that I was born in a house. You know, it's all. I still remember the name, Dr. Fate. What a name. Yeah, he was in Hawthorne, he was one of the doctors there, and he brought a lot of the children, you know, to his world, yes.
And you had an older brother and a younger brother. Were there more?
No, that was all. Mm-hmm. That was all.
How much younger was he?
He's about 3 years younger. He worked in aircraft, and he's still there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he worked all of them. He worked, you know, during the war they had, where they hired teenagers out of school, and you'd work 4 hours and go to school 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And he came in on that program, and he worked at Douglas, I remember, and then he went to Northrop, and North America, he worked them, just, but now he's settled on Northrop.
He said he lived in Almaty till you were about...
Oh, I was about five, I think.
Can you tell me what it was like there?
Oh, I enjoyed it. That was right before the Depression. So it was a good time. And I remember we lived right... We were the first house, and before that was big barracks where all the single men lived. And I remember they used to always hide my little brother. He'd go wandering over there, and they used to love to tease me because I'd go crazy looking for him, you know. And my mother did laundry for him, you know, all the workers there. And so she earned her extra money. And I remember we went to Oakland for a vacation one time in a bus, the first time I ever seen snow. And we went to visit some cousins up there. And so we had money, you know. In fact, my dad was able to buy that house and property and all that. And we had a lot of nice clothes. Everything was really nice. I mean, I can't complain. You know, we were living real good.
Can you describe the house for me?
You know, let's see if I can remember it. It's with a wood frame house. And I remember a big kitchen. And I think a living room. And maybe a bedroom. And I remember we used to take a bath in the kitchen. We must have had a outside... I have a picture. You want to more or less get an idea?
Yeah, you said off tape that the housing that you lived in Almaty was kind of like a barrio.
Yeah, well, no, barrio, well, yeah, barrio there and barrio in the other place.
In Hawthorne. As mm-hmm. well. Well, I'm wondering why you were in Almaty and you were living in company housing. That's
yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
What if there was a sense of community with the other workers, Yeah, the social activities.
Yes. Oh, yes. Uh huh. Oh, yeah. We knew the people that we, you know, lived there. You know.
Were there? Do you remember social gatherings there?
I don't remember that too much. I know the women all used to get together, you know, during the day because they didn't. Those days they didn't work. But I just can't remember. I know we still know some of those people. You know, some of their children, we still know them. But I just wonder if it's still there, what it looks like now. My daughter lives in West Covina, and I could just go in there and look, but I never have. Kind of traumatic going there and look.
So. And you moved to Hawthorne then when you were five?
Yeah, we moved. I think my dad got in trouble. I don't know what he did. I don't know whether he was making beer illegally. I remember the police surrounding our house one night, and after that we moved. And I think the main manager of all the Mexican people, he was my married to my dad's cousin. So he was looking out for my dad, and he told him, "I think you better move because I think the police are onto you that you got selling beer to." I guess he was selling beer to all those mm-hmm. men there. And so that's when we moved to our house down here, and we started to raise chickens. But then that's when we had the big depression. I think my dad got sick, and he started losing a lot of weight, and we didn't know what was wrong with him. And everybody was trying to say that he had tuberculosis, and nobody wanted, he was kind of getting away from him. And so what he did, he went to the General Hospital in Los Angeles. And there they built him up because he had lost so much weight. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a goiter operation because even then I didn't know. Because I know they cut him from here to here. And losing a lot of weight mm-hmm. might have been something to do with his goiter. And then he came out of that and he was all right after that. Mm-hmm. But when he came out of the hospital and was recuperating, this neighbor of ours came to visit my dad to tell him the bad news that the banks had all closed. Mm-hmm. And I think he had about $600, which in those days was a lot of money, you know. And before my dad had gone to the hospital, because my mother didn't drive or anything, and he didn't either, but he'd always get a friend to take us to this Watts. Can you imagine? They drive to Watts where there are a lot of Mexican stores, and he loaded up on groceries. He bought 500 sacks of flour and a big 100-pound sack of beans. He got eggs, a lot of eggs. I mean, he just, a lot of staples, mm-hmm. which was, not knowing that what was going to happen, was really good. At least we could eat.
Now, were the chickens, how he made?
Yeah, after that, yeah. No, well, we couldn't make a living. After the Depression, when the Depression came, we just didn't have any more. The only utility we had was electricity and water, okay? But we had to go back to a wood-burning stove, and my dad started gardening, because we had a big lot, and he started gardening a lot. And plus, we lived in an area where there's a lot of Japanese farms, so we got a lot of vegetables, because they couldn't sell them a lot of times. They just put them in heaps, and you'd go help yourself. And I just don't know whether he had little jobs where he was working, which they only pay, I think, about 25 cents an hour in those times. And to us, I mean, to me, I was just happy as a lark. I mean, I didn't know the difference, you know, being, they were the ones that were worrying. And I think we went on relief, on welfare. After a while, it got so bad that we had to go on welfare. But it was a different welfare in those days, very different. They just gave you surplus foods. Like to us, we couldn't really use them. Like they gave us margarine. We didn't use margarine. And they gave us, what was that? Some real salty ham, you know. And I mean, just things like, one burrito like was a cereal. They gave us cereal. But it isn't like they give you a lot of money or anything. You just, a lot of surplus food and maybe a little bit of money.
You said that your mom had done laundry at the house in Elmont.
Yeah.
Did she continue to do things?
No. When she moved to Elmont, to Hawthorne, she didn't do anything.
Did she ever work outside the home while you were young?
Well, I think one time she tried working for a doctor as a housekeeper, and I don't think that lasted very long because she didn't want to stay away from us. We were small. I don't know, I just think back, I don't know how we survived. We just didn't have, I mean, your clothes that you wore, I mean, you just had a little. I mean, you just used them until they fell apart. And I think I only maybe got a pair or two shoes a year. You know, summer you went barefooted, you didn't need any. So.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe where you lived? In
Hawthorne? It was close to Douglas, where Douglas is now. It's about a 20-minute walk from there, where the airport is. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of farms, a lot of Japanese farms all around there. There's an airport, which was very little in those days. And I liked it. It was beautiful.
You said that it also was like a barrio.
Yeah, there were in that street that we lived on, there was about 10 families that lived in around that little area there, the houses and everything. And mostly people that came from the same place in Mexico that my dad came from. And like my aunt, that cousin that I was talking about, they lived next door. And we just had a lot of playmates. And I look back on it as happy times. I had more fun than the kids do nowadays, you know. Mm-hmm. You weren't sitting in the house watching TV or anything, not playing.
And do you remember what kinds of social things that your parents did during that time?
Gee, the only thing I remember is that we had this woman that came from the adult education, and she rented a little house there, and they fixed it up, and she was getting the women to come in and learn how to read and write in English. And say about two or three times a week she would come, and all the women would go, and they would. I know my mother learned how to read and write, and she learned crafts, and she taught them a lot of things. And not only that, but she was helpful if we ever got in trouble, or they needed a lawyer, somebody got in trouble, you know, that she would be right there. And then for Christmas, I remember she would, apparently she also was working in the high school, because she would get a room assigned to each family. And then for Christmas, she'd come, a big truck would come with big cardboard boxes full for that family. And like books, food, clothing, used clothing and all that. And all that was, I remember that as more fun than even Christmas now, you know. And that's where I learned how to like to read a lot, because I got some books in there. And I started reading them. And I remember reading that, I don't know if you ever read it, My Secret Garden. For the last, it was about this little crippled boy that was in this house, and they had a big wall, and he was very spoiled. And this little boy, I guess he was very poor, and he got to be friends with him, and how they grew a secret garden in there, and he got the boy well. And but the last page was gone.
Did you ever find the last page?
Well, I tried to look it up in the library afterwards, and I never could. I imagine it was came out all right. But this is where I really liked. Then after that, I started going to libraries and spend my Saturdays there. And to this day, I just love going to libraries. I don't know about you, but I go in. There's two places that I can go in, and I get a real warm, happy feeling, and that's a library and Bullock's in the perfume in the makeup department. I just feel real, like you're safe or happy and warm in there. But I remember it as a happy time.
What kind of contact was there between the neighbors? What kinds of things would you do with each other?
You just visit back and forth. You celebrate the holidays together. You know, like for Christmas, whoever was making the tamales or whatever, they'd all get in their in that house and, you know, get together. The men like to drink, of course, you know. And I think the men would get together to drink. And I remember that same teacher, that lady, she, during the Depression, being that the men didn't have a job, she got baseball equipment, and she formed teams, and the men played baseball, and, you know. So she was very influential in those days. And I just wonder whatever happened to that lady, you know. She did so much for those people in those days.
What were the holidays like? Did you celebrate specific Mexican holidays as well as...
Well, the only Mexican holiday we celebrated was Christmas. But as we started getting older, we started, like for Easter, you know, we'd somehow or other finagle some money and go buy, remember those little organdy dresses I used to have for Easter? Well, we somehow or other we'd manage to go get one. And we try to go along with what was happening here, you know, and try to get our parents to do things. Like Thanksgiving, I don't remember having a turkey or anything like that, you know. We didn't have that until we started getting teenagers and we start realizing what was happening, then we start, you know.
What was Christmas like?
Well, it was, even to this day, we celebrate Christmas Eve. Still, and... no presents, not too many, or if any. And we just get together Christmas Eve, and everybody get pitch in and make tamales. Mm-hmm. The whole, you know, you'd be in there helping, and it's just like a party, you know. And no presents, you know. And but I enjoyed it, you know. I really enjoyed it. We'd stay up till about 2, till the tamales were, they would cook them in batches, you know, and they'd have, the last batch would be about 2 o'clock, and I remember getting sick. I ate so much one time. To this day, I gotta watch it. I kind of overdo on tamales. And we still celebrate it the same way now. Well, we don't make them, but we still get together Christmas Eve. My brother and his children, my side of the family, and we get together Christmas Eve. And of course, now it's a lot of presents, and we just a lot of food. And tamales, not what we do, we go buy them at the store, you know, where they make them here. And I never learned how to make them, because my mother died when I was young, so I never did get to learn to make them. So it's still the same way, the holiday. And we just made up our own, like for Halloween, we'd put masks on and go out and play. But we just kind of try to, our parents didn't know about it, but we at school learned and we were trying to go along with the holidays.
What was it like for you going to school when you first started to school?
Oh, it was rough because I didn't know English. And the teachers wouldn't let us talk Spanish. We couldn't, how can you talk to anybody? If you can't talk Spanish, you can't talk English, what are you going to do? And we just survived, I guess. And it wasn't until I was in maybe the fourth or fifth grade that I started catching up. And all along that time, I just felt like I was stupid. I remember there was this other little girl. She was, have you ever had one in your school, a little teacher's pet in your class that she goes from the kindergarten onto high school? And she bugs you all your life. Well, she's a redhead, freckle, she's typical. Oh, she was a teacher's pet, smart, and just knew everything, you know. And I remember her coming to me, I was out there playing baseball, and she said, Mary, she says, I see you almost got 100 in your spelling. And I didn't know what to say to her, you know, because I didn't know how did she know that I got 100. I guess she was correcting the picture. And she says, what happened? I don't know whether she's thinking I copied or what. But it was just that I was finally starting to catch on to everything, you know. And from then on, I don't say I was the smartest, but I went along with the class. I could keep up with it.
Were most of your playing Spanish speaking?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Most of the same children that lived there would come. And we wouldn't eat lunch at school because we didn't want to bring our tacos. Mm. So what we'd do, we'd run home. It was only about 3 blocks. And we'd run home and eat and then come back, you know. And as you can see in this picture, sometimes we're being barefooted, you know. And we had fun. We just didn't think nothing of it, you know. And I guess children survive everything. And I remember having some nice teachers and some not too good, you know. Some that were... I remember one teacher, her name was Mrs. Coffin. I'll never forget what her name was. And the only thing that I liked about her was she used to really, knows how to read Raggedy Ann to us. Oh, I used to love the way she read the stories to us. But then when she lost her temper, especially at the little Mexican boy, she would really, I guess they really frustrated her. She'd really get after them. And but then there were some that, they were fair. They just, they were the same way with us as they were with everybody else. I mean, they were maybe strict, but they were strict with everybody, you know. And then I remember this other one, real nice teacher that was there. She was really nice. And she's the one that got my brother and I to start going to Sunday school. Because my dad was against the Catholic religion. He said, they really kept us down in Mexico. And he said, I don't want to come back. That's what I'm trying to get away from over there. And I want my kids not to be like that. So he baptized us, but that as far as it went, we never went to confirmation or nothing. So then this teacher invited us to. She says, and we said, well, how do we get there? We don't. She says, I'll come and pick you up. And so sure enough, she'd come every Sunday, pick us up and take us to this, I think it was a Presbyterian church, and we had a lot of fun there because they had picnics and they did a lot of things, you know. But my parents didn't go, just us, my brother and I. And I remember it was so funny one time that we didn't go a couple of Sundays, and she came and got us, and she said, well, what happened that you didn't know, you know? And we were trying to lie our way, you know, to tell her we're sick in Spanish. And, you know, come to find out, she knew how to talk Spanish.